Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Story Shop. I'm Aunt Sally.
And I'm Princess Tamalpa. What's that? Oh, it's you, Skedaddle.
Yes, Princess Tamalpa.
We haven't seen you for a while. What have you been doing?
I've been trying to become a hero.
A hero?
Yes. I was walking an old woman across the street, but I tripped and we both fell in the gutter. Then I tried to rescue a kitten that had run up a tree, but when I got there, I got so scared they had to call the fire department to rescue both of us.
And then what happened?
I tried to fly over a fence like Superman, but I ripped a big hole in my pants and my mom had to come rescue me.
It's hard to become a hero, Skedaddle. In fact, I have a story today about a Japanese-American boy whose name is Hiro, only it is spelled H-I-R-O.
Gee, that would be a hard name to live up to. Can we hear the story, Princess Tamalpa?
Yes. This is the story of Hiro. Hiro watched from the dock as cargo ships glided in and out of the harbor, yearning to be in charge of one that sailed all over the world, even to Japan, the country of his parents' birth. His daydreams were shattered when the fishing pole he was holding wobbled in his hands. He drew back the rod, then slowly and steadily reeled in the line, his slight body pulled one way and then the other by the battling fish. A nearby fisherman called out,
"Looks like you caught a big one, lad!"
"Yes, I have!" "Oh, I hope the poor fish gets away. I hate having to take a hook out of the fish's bleeding mouth. Yuck! Then I have to clean it and take out the insides and everything. The fish smell clings to my hands for days, so I can't forget how it felt to hold the slick, icy body."
This time the fish snapped the line and darted away, much to Hiro's relief, even though his father would frown when he found out how poor his son's catch had been and shake his head in disappointment. Hiro could hear exactly what his father would say, since he'd heard it so many times before.
"Remember, Hiro, it is noble to be a fisherman. Your grandfather and his father before him fished from early in the morning till the sun slid out of sight. It's up to you to continue the tradition."
Hiro hated fish. He loathed their smell, their feel, and their taste. But he loved the ocean. He packed up his fishing gear and hid it under the wharf. Then he raced across the worn wooden dock, feet skimming the ground, to explore the ships at the other end of the harbor. It was for these moments each Saturday that he waited, when he could imagine himself captain of a ship, hauling parrots and bubblegum and silk kimonos to strange lands, defending his vessel against attacking pirates and sea monsters.
"What's this? A new ship in the harbor? Gosh, I've never seen one like this before. It's circular in shape, like a sand dollar, and smaller than the others, and more shapely. It sure stands out, especially with painted that deep purple color. Oh, there's the name on its prow. Narcissus. Sounds like a hissing snake. The Narcissus. What a beautiful name."
Hiro hopped up and down in front of the ship, hugging himself and wriggling with excitement. He was entranced with this strange beauty before him.
"If I were only big enough and strong enough to pilot a ship like this. But I'm too small, and besides, my father would never let me. Hooray! The gangplank's down! At least I can go aboard and touch her railings and look into her rooms. Maybe I'll even find some food. I'll just have to be careful that the crew doesn't see me."
Hiro scampered up the gangplank, looking neither right nor left. The odor of fresh paint stung his nostrils as he skittered across the deck, through an opening, and into a companionway.
"That paint smells so strong. can smell something else, too. What is it? I've smelled it before somewhere.
Hiro stopped for a moment to look around. He was in a passageway connecting all the ship's levels. A steel gray ladder plunged into the ship's interior. All was silent except for waves slapping against the dock. He strained to hear other sounds, but only a seagull screeched overhead as it flew by.
I'm safe so far. No one's seen me.
The cold metal railing slipped through his hands as he scrambled down the ladder, hiking boots clanking and echoing throughout the passageway, throwing back a hollow shout which spread shivers over his skin. The sound quavered like a voice out of the depths, calling his name.
Hiro! Hiro!
What have I gotten myself into? I'm getting out of here. I'd sooner have my father angry at me for not catching enough fish than staying around here.
Choking back panic, Hiro fumbled for each step. Finally, he reached the top and rushed out onto the deck.
Hey, where's the gangplank? And the dock? And my father's fishing boat? And what's happened to the city?
He leaned over the railing and stared at the greenish-gray water below, heaving like a great beast. When he raised his eyes, he could see the city's dim outline retreating in the distance. In the other direction was nothing but miles and miles of ocean. He stumbled across the deck to the pilot's house, ready to turn himself in as a stowaway. At the door, he paused a moment, gathering courage before entering. Inside the room, there were panels with gauges and needles that bobbed back and forth, as well as the ship's wheel. It spun first in one direction, then the other, but there was no one guiding it, no one reading the gauges, no one in the cabin except himself.
Now I remember what that smell was I sensed beneath the fresh paint. It's the smell of death. It's the same smell I notice every time I have to kill a fish. It's the same smell I noticed at my grandmother's funeral. Musty and mysterious. I'm on a ghost ship, and it looks like I'm the only passenger. But where are we going?
Hiro's first impulse was to find a place to hide, hoping it was all a bad dream. He stood with his arms wrapped around his body, shivering uncontrollably. Finally, he staggered across the tilting deck to the wheel, hoping to turn the Narcissus around and head back to the docks, but it rotated crazily back and forth, zigzagging across the ocean, making him dizzy and sick to his stomach. With the waves leaping higher and higher and the ship pitching and yawing, it took forever to reach the wheel.
I made it at last. Now if I can just get this wheel to obey me. When I pull it in one direction, it feels as though it's an invisible force is pulling it the other way.
The more Hiro tugged and pulled, the more unyielding was the wheel, spinning suddenly and throwing him towards the door. Dark clouds had clustered in the sky, signaling an approaching storm, and a blast of wind whipped sea spray into his face, jostling the clouds till they looked like a giant snorting dragon. Hiro dived for the companionway, just as a huge wave lunged across the deck, ramming a lifeboat and dragging it into the ocean. This time he didn't notice the sound of his boots clanging on the metal ladder. His heart thudded in his ears, and the howling wind silenced all sounds. Suddenly, the stairs ended.
Now what do I do? There's a doorway ahead, but it's so gloomy and dark. I might be better off up on the deck.
A jagged lightning bolt darted across the darkening sky, and rain gusted into the passageway. Remembering the lifeboat wrenched from its moorings moments before, he stiffened his body and stepped cautiously through the opening.
All I can see are big old bulky shapes. Is that oil I smell? smells like oil and wet ropes. Ugh. What's that other smell? It's like sweet, heavy perfume.
Hero's stomach turned upside down. In the darkness, something stirred, rustling and scratching against wood. He pressed against the wall and held his breath. Someone or something was in the room with him.
Hello? Who's there?
The scratching stopped. Hero was stuck to the wall with fright. He didn't know if the moisture he felt was from the sweat on his body or from water condensing on the wall. Everything he touched was damp and clammy, and the perfumed air made him drowsy.
Are those shapes moving? No, I guess it's just the ship rolling.
The ship swayed violently, throwing him onto the floor. He reached his hands out to protect himself. Something brushed his arm, withdrawing with a hiss.
Help! Help!
Something rubbed against his leg. He jerked it away and sat up, stiff as steel. A howl like a frightened baby's echoed in the wind. Then all was silent.
Could that have been a ghost?
Again, something rubbed against his leg.
That sounds like a cat's purring. It's a cat! It's a cat! Come here, kitty. I won't hurt you. Come on, sit in my lap. There. Boy, am I glad to see you. Sounds like you could use a friend, too. Well, now we both have someone to share this strange voyage with. Do you have a name, kitty?
Meow.
I'm going to call you Narcissus after this boat. Who knows? Maybe the boat is named after you. Gosh, I can't keep my eyes open any longer. Come on, Narcissus, let's go to sleep.
While wind and rain battered the ship from above and waves from below, Hero slept, his body curled around the cat's. Awakened by a rough tongue licking his cheeks and chin, Hero looked up into the face of a sleek black cat.
Hello, Narcissus. You really are a beauty.
Wow.
Light flickered through the companionway. Hero struggled to wake up, fighting against the heavy perfume which pulled on his body like 100 leeches, threatening to drag him into sleep again. The cat dug her claws into his chest as she stretched her body.
Ouch!
He leaped to his feet and staggered to within a few feet of the doorway.
It's too quiet. All I can hear is my breath.
He finally dragged himself through the doorway and grabbed the ladder, straining upwards for each step while invisible strings pulled at his legs. Again he could hear his name being chanted.
Hero! Hero! Come back, Hero!
The sound swirled around his head like flies.
Get away from me!
Hero punched at the air with a fist and was thrown off balance. He dangled from the step like a puppet, feet groping for a foothold. The cat was perched on the step above him. She scooted up the ladder, then turned around and peered at him as if to say, "Follow me, Hero!" He dragged himself up, hand over hand, until he finally reached the deck.
Hooray! I can breathe again!
He gulped a chestful of fresh sea air, which squeezed out the poisoned vapors from below. Then he looked around. Almost as terrifying as last night's violent storm was the deathly calm. The ocean spread out in all directions like crocodile skin. Mile upon mile of unruffled water reflected back the steady glare of the sun. No longer was the Narcissus grinding through the waves with invisible hands guiding the wheel and unknown forces empowering the engine. It, too, was silent, in limbo, floating on the ocean like a lily pod in a stagnant pool.
How am I going to get home? Oh, if I was only in my bed and this was a bad dream. Even fishing was better than this.
The cat rubbed up against his legs and meowed. Then scurried across the deck till she reached a smokestack. With a leap, she was inside its opening and immediately wriggled out of sight.
Oh no, she's stuck. Now I'll have to rescue her.
Hero dove into the smokestack, head first, and called out into the gloom.
Hello, Narcissus.
Don't worry, I'll get you out.
He felt his way along the narrow passage, which smelled like smoke and soot, until he came to a curve.
Shall I go on?
It was all Hero needed to hear. He couldn't desert his new friend. He inched over a hump, bracing his arms and legs against the sides of the smokestack. Suddenly, he began to slide down the chute. Faster and faster he dropped, the air streaking past his face.
Where am I? There's a circular pool. Gee, it glitters like an emerald. And the room is lit by the pool's greenish light.
Crouched at the edge of the pool was the cat. She didn't seem to notice him. Her eyes flickered back and forth as she watched something inside the pool, something Hero couldn't see. He crept to the pool's edge and stared into the water. A milky mist swirled over the surface, preventing him from seeing into its depths. As Hero knelt over the water, the cat unexpectedly dove into the pool.
Come back, Narcissus, you'll drown!
But it was too late. The milky covering closed over her, and the surface was still once again.
Oh, what am I to do? Ouch! Oh, I stubbed my toe on something. What is it?
When he bent down to see what he'd hit, he found a fishing rod that shone like the purest gold. It gleamed like a live thing in his hands.
Dare I use it? I must. It's my only chance to save my friend.
Hero had no sooner dropped the line into the water than he was dragged to the edge of the pool.
I've snagged something! If I can only brace against this lip of the pool, I can save myself from getting pulled in. But what have I caught?
The water, no longer quiet, now seethed and bubbled. Then a woman's head surged to the surface, followed by the shoulders, her body covered with seaweed. But Hero was totally unprepared for what he saw next.
Oh no! She has fins instead of legs! I've snagged a mermaid!
Mermaid and boy looked at each other in amazement. One as curious as the other about the new creature before them. Then Hero recovered himself enough to ask,
Did I hurt you with the hook?
The mermaid reached up and loosened the hook from where it was caught in her long black hair and gave it to Hero.
It did hurt when you were reeling me in. It pulled my hair.
I'm awfully sorry, but I was trying to rescue Narcissus the cat. She jumped into this pool. And I'm afraid she's drowned.
No one has ever drowned in this pool.
What do you mean?
This is no ordinary pool, Hero.
How do you know my name?
The mermaid laughed and then dove out of sight, returning a moment later, cradling the cat in her arms.
Is this what you were looking for?
Yes, but where did she go?
Come with me and I'll show you.
Hero hadn't lost his thirst for adventure, so he put his hand into the mermaid's and dove with her into the pool's depths. Well, to tell you all the things Hero saw and did in this new world would require a book. Not only did he visit Japan, the land of his ancestors, but he met many of them as well. But then it came time for him to return, for he had a task yet to complete.
Hero, you must take charge of the Narcissus and return to your home.
But when I tried to steer it before, nothing happened. I just ended up going in circles.
When you return to the deck this time, you'll have a whole crew waiting to help you. All you have to do is give the orders and steer the ship. They'll do the rest, including pointing you in the right direction.
I want to go home, but I hate to leave you. Will I ever see you again?
Of course. You'll see me in your dreams.
The mermaid then slipped into the water and swam out of view.
Goodbye, mermaid. I'll be looking for you in my dreams. Come on, Narcissus. We've got a long journey ahead of us.
Meow.
No sooner had they entered the smokestack than they were returned to the deck, where everything was as the mermaid had promised. Before long, the Narcissus was steaming into the harbor with Hero standing proudly at the wheel, expertly steering the vessel towards a berth, the black cat balanced on the prow. Standing on the dock, waving and cheering, were his mother and father and all his friends. As Hero heard their voices drift across the water, urging him on, he realized that at last he truly was what his name implied, a hero.
Gee, if you have to go through all that to become a hero, forget it.
But Hero, the boy in the story, didn't start out to be a hero. He just responded the best way he knew how to the things that happened to him.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Maybe I'm trying too hard.
You're probably more of a hero than you realize, Skedaddle. You just don't recognize it.
Well, everyone, our time is up for this morning.
Tune in next week, same time, same station.
Goodbye! Bye.
The Story Shop is a creation of Gail Wittenmeyer-Mills and Lily Iona Susi.